Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon is Obtaining Like Precious Faith, taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. This is the introductory verses of 2 Peter, which we'll be covering in the next 6 months. Peter speaks to us in the last days of his earthly life. Verse 14 of chapter 1 tells us, he says, "Shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Last words are important. They convey the heart cry of the one whom you will not see again in this earthly life. Before Jesus went to the cross, his last words to Peter was to feed the flock of God. If you are to be called home today and you have that opportunity to speak to your loved one, what would be those last words that you want to speak to them? The most important and most urgent thoughts that you want to convey to them. Well, in that limited time that you have, would be that if they are outside the kingdom of God, that they may come to believe the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you will see them again in heaven. Heaven or hell, death is that separation, the Bible tells us. And the Bible also tells us there is a chasm that is fixed between heaven and hell. And death is that separation. One who is in heaven cannot go to hell. And one who is in hell cannot go to heaven. So there is that decision point. And Peter is speaking these last words to those who have obtained like precious faith. That indeed this faith is worthy, this faith is a great privilege that God gives to us, this hope of eternal life, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You would want to show them, if you have friends, we have loved ones, who has not obtained this like precious faith. Well, our last words would be that, Come to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who have obtained that like precious faith, Peter is writing to them to remain steadfast in the faith, to be aware of falling into falsehoods. And he speaks to us in the last days. He tells us that we are living in the last times, that our Lord Jesus is coming again. And when Jesus comes, the church, the true church of God, all believers will be taken away in that one moment. And if it's on this Lord's Day, this particular worship service, a worship like this, that Jesus comes, all who have obtained that like precious faith will be taken in heaven, and those who are not born again will be left behind. Well, this is the gist of 2 Peter. While the Lord tarries, while there is still time, now is the accepted time. And for Peter, he must be completing the task that God has for him. He calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ, a born slave. He calls himself one who is fully devoted, yielded to loving his Lord. For Peter, loving his Lord means to give up fishing and to become a fisher of men. What about you? We are living in the last days before our Lord will return. What is your calling in life? We may be in whatever profession that we are in, but we are first of all called to be a Christian. We are called to reflect the glory of God in our lives, to point others to Christ. And that is the purpose of Peter writing these epistles. I remember while attending the Far Eastern Bible College night class in 2001 on the subject of eschatology, the study of the last things, our late principal, Reverend Toh, challenged the class with the song, "The Last, Last Hour," with the words by Dr. Toh to the tune of, "O Master, let me walk with thee." And the words are very captivating. The words captured my heart. The sunset burns in western sky. Upon the air, a warning cry. The siren wails from tower to tower. Oh, brethren, this the last, last hour. It was in the year 2001, before September 11. The souls that Christians might have won now crowd the hour of setting sun, publish abroad his saving name, to ends of earth Christ's power proclaim. For dying souls, my brethren weep, O tardy workers, go and reap, forsake the world and all its fun, the battle must be fought and won. For the Apostle Peter, he has fought his battles, and he has come to the close of his life. And he wants that precious faith that he has to be passed on. Reverend Toh challenged the class. We are the privileged people with the message of salvation. Only Jesus saves. If we would not go, who would go? Well, this is the message that Peter is giving to us, to all those who have the like precious faith. He tells them, I've completed my task. I'm completing my task. But for you, the mandate is upon you. In response to his message, my response to the song, my burden was for the unsaved in my family. And I said, and I respond in these words, our loved ones do we bring to God in prayer, pleading for their souls, for his mercy, for his great mercy on their lot, that heaven be our common hope. What about you? Is this your burden too? Or have we been so caught up with the material prosperity of this life that we have neglected the prosperity of the soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world or lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This was that Peter who writes this second epistle. This was that Peter who was in Galilee, who witnessed the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Remember, Jesus took the offering from that little boy and he set the people, 5,000, in that plain, and from there, he fed them. There was enough, more than 12 baskets left over. Jesus was introducing to them in that miracle the living bread. The living bread from heaven. But the people were caught up with the earthly bread. So, in that occasion, Peter saw the hardness of the human heart, that they would not be a partaker of that light, precious faith that he possessed. Their faith was skin deep. Their faith was dictated by their stomach. So that in John chapter 66, this is the account, if you will turn there with me, the account of what happened to those whom Jesus has fed. those who have witnessed the miracle of the Lord. Verse 66 of John chapter 6, if you turn there with me. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This was the precious faith that Peter confessed on that day of the feeding of the 5,000. And this is the faith that Peter wants to convey to the people, that this is the faith that we have, a precious faith. And the sad thing was in verse 70, Jesus answered the people, that among the 12, there is one that will not go to heaven. Jesus answered them in verse 70 of John chapter 6. Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that shall betray him, being one of the 12. So you see, there were 5,000 people there. And how many of them did actually follow Jesus? Well, only 11. If you make a calculation, a statistic, it's only 0.24%. And if you subtract Judas, it's only 0.22%. What a pathetic situation, isn't it? Well, it tells us the hardness of the human heart. That we don't want the things of God. That we despise the things of God's kingdom, you see. They were looking for the material things. They were looking for the things of this life. But there's an eternal message that Jesus was trying to convey to them, you see. And this is a message that we want to convey for us this morning. Judas experienced all the religious privileges and opportunities of the other disciples, but he did not truly benefit from it. You know, he was right there, so near to the gates of heaven, and yet there is a way down to hell from that place. And Judas was the example. So near and yet so far. We want to consider this morning a very grave matter, this matter of our eternal destiny. Jesus said to the great multitude that was there, so many of them, he says in verse 50 of chapter 6, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So in that account, Peter learned that this faith that he has, this precious faith that is he possessed, that he confessed, is centered only in Jesus Christ. That is the phrase in verse 1, the last part. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us, what is this like precious faith? This like precious faith is through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a thought that conveys to us a very simple message, that Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Only Jesus saves. And Jesus Christ is the substance of our faith. He is the center of our faith. So Peter tells us that it is through Jesus Christ that we receive this righteousness. What is this righteousness? To be righteous is to be right with God. The way to God is through Jesus Christ. And God has appointed Jesus Christ as the means of salvation for mankind. Jesus Christ is the one that will pay our debts, the debts of our sins that cause so much misery in this world. Every sorrow, every misery in this world can trace its root to sin. And the curse that comes as a result of sin. God has a solution. The righteousness of God has come upon men in Jesus Christ, our Savior, he tells us. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is this Savior? Well, the name Jesus means Savior. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. This is the witness of the angel of the Lord that appeared to Joseph in the dream. Verse 20 says, "But while he thought on these things, about Mary conceiving a child, having not known the man, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou art son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." What does Jesus mean? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. The seed of a man consists, inherited the sin of men. But Jesus is the seed of a woman. Never before. How can it be? The seed of a woman, born of a virgin. Well, Jesus did not possess that sin nature, you see. He is perfectly holy. He is God with us. That's why he can be that substitute. He can be that propitiation. He can be that righteousness that will bring us back to God. He is that mediator. Jesus is that God-man. Jesus is that Emmanuel who comes with us. Jesus is fully God and fully man. And he came to reconcile sinners back to God. Jesus could not have accomplished what he did if he's merely man. But Jesus is truly God. And this is the precious faith that Peter wants to convey in his epistle. These are the last words. Nothing else to give. The most precious thing that he would like to give, that he can give, is this, the gospel, that faith that he possessed. And this precious faith, this like precious faith, is that same faith that he possessed. And he says that in 1 Peter chapter, let's turn back there now, 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that this like precious faith that is with us, to them that have obtained the like precious faith with us, who is the us? Well, he is referring to the apostles, all who has been eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we know? Well, you turn with me to chapter 3 of 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Okay. It tells us who is the us that is given there. Okay. Chapter 3 verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So his authority is not just himself. Well, he was an eyewitness, but there were others with him who were eyewitnesses of the Christ. And they write in order to bear witness. So the word apostle is one who is sent forth by his Lord and Savior, sent forth with that message. And the apostles were committed to write the scriptures, committed to preach the word, because they were eyewitnesses of the truth, you see. Eyewitnesses of the way to God. Jesus paid the debt of sin that we can never repay by ourselves on the cross. And Peter was an eyewitness. And he declares it to us. Jesus died for our sins. He shed his blood to redeem us. The very moment a sinner believes on Jesus Christ, he is justified and accepted. And in chapter 1, in 1 Peter chapter 1, he gives to us the definition of this faith. He tells us in verse 18, turn with me there, just as a recap of what we have studied in the last half of the year. Verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." This is the message. This is the faith that we have, that we want to convey. The moment a sinner believes on Christ, the Bible tells us that he is justified and he is accepted. His sins are forgiven. No more guilt, no more condemnation. He has peace with God. And that comes when we believe. That's the power of the gospel. All would believe would receive that peace. Have you experienced that peace? Or are you still burdened by the load of sin? Well, you are persuaded lovingly to taste of Jesus Christ if you have not. And Peter wants to impress upon us this aspect of the faith, this precious faith. He says that this precious faith is a gift to us. It's God's gift to us. And that's the word that is given in verse 1, that have obtained. The word obtain is a very special word. It means to receive by casting of lot. Casting of lot is a way to determine the will of God. Proverbs says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. God decides the outcome. So when Peter used that word to obtain that like precious faith, he's telling us that this faith is received by divine will. It is apart from your own efforts. In other words, we are to acknowledge that it is by the favor of God that we receive this faith. It is God that has reached out to us. See, in that moment in time, when we are in that trouble, God intervened. In that critical moment, God came to us and God showed to us the way out of our trouble. Paul said the same thing. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This faith that we have comes from God. It is God that came into our lives. How did it happen? Well, we can just marvel at the power of God, how He rules in circumstances and brings us at that particular point in life to that saving knowledge. And this morning, we want to recall that moment, the moment that you have obtained that precious faith. How happy was that moment? How joyful was that moment that God gave that faith, that you know in your hearts that your sins has been forgiven? Well, Peter went about having obtained this precious faith in the ministry. And in Acts chapter 3, turn with that, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. It was given the account of a man who was born lame from his mother's womb. This man was more than 40 years of age, and by the time Peter is writing this epistle, he probably is an old man. But I believe that he is one who would remember Peter dearly, because on that particular day, he found Christ. He found the Lord. He was sitting there languishing at the gate of the temple, beautiful. The Bible tells us that he was there from morning till night receiving alms. He was born lame from his mother's womb. Can you imagine what life is like for a lame man? Well, Jesus came and intervened in his life. And for each one of us, it is a different circumstances. It's a different circumstance, but for him, it was that particular moment. Verse 3 tells us, verse 3. It was 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Peter and John came. And verse 3 says, "Who's this man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for an alms?" And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Well, Peter and John were God's instruments at that time, who would come to meet with this lame man. And it was a life-transforming experience for him. It was a life-changing moment. And the Lord wants us to remember that life-changing moment for us. For this lame man, it was at that point Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, that's the experience of one who has met God, whose sins has been forgiven. And look at the people around him. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. It was a most significant event in his life. He was confronted with the power of the living God. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and this is the same message which we are preaching today, that same Jesus is able to save you from your sins and able to give you life, abundant life. Have you tasted of that power? Well, if you have tasted of that power, Peter wants to remind us that we have a mission that God has given to us. And Peter has run his race. His battle is done. And he wants to pass on that torch to us. Dear friends, has your sins been forgiven? Does the guilt of sin still trouble you? Are you heavy, laden? Are you troubled? Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. So when the people saw the miracle of this man healed, they all were so excited. They came to him and Jesus and Peter shared and preached the gospel. Verse 25 and 26 of chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. This was what Peter said to them, as a follow-on, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Jesus is able to turn you, to save you from your sins. And the power of God reached out to those who would be saved. And God gave this gift of faith. Can you turn with me to Acts chapter 4? Acts chapter 4, verse 4. It gives to us the result. Verse 4 says, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Peter experienced the power of the gospel, didn't he, that day? How 5,000 were saved. And you remember many years ago when he was with Jesus, how that 5,000 went away. And he was that lone disciple walking with his Lord, and he stuck with his Lord. He says that thou had the words of eternal life. You are the only one that can save. Where else can I go? Well, today, that day, Peter experienced the 5,000 who were saved. For us who have obtained that precious faith, that like precious faith, it must cause us to be full of gratitude in our hearts. As we want to remember that moment, that time when our life was transformed. Life is never the same again. And so, we see how God, the life of God, burned in the heart of this lame man who was healed. And how his heart was burning hot, praising God, telling everyone of the Savior. Well, is he that same person after 20 years? Still fervent hot for the Lord, praising the Lord, going out for the Lord. Well, Peter is writing to all this like those with like precious faith to rekindle that first love that is in you. Peter says that I'm a bond slave, I'm a servant, I'm someone who is fully yielded to my master in my master's business. And he knew that his reward, Christ will give to him. Well, that's the first thought, that this saving faith is God-given. And when it reached out to us, it was that life-transforming moment. True peace and joy comes into our heart, and we want to remember that moment. But is that love still burning hot in us? That is the question that we want to ask ourselves this morning. And the second thought is that this faith is precious. It is the pearl of great price. We call like precious, of equal value or honor. This is a word that is used only once in the New Testament. It tells us that this faith brings us into the spiritual privileges that God has for us. And this privilege is given to us regardless of who we are, regardless of our social status, regardless of our race, regardless of our family background, regardless of our language. We may have sinned against God, but God can forgive every penitent sinner. And the preciousness of this faith is that we are partakers of the divine nature. If I could just stretch a little bit into verse 3. That God's nature is in us. And you know that during Peter's time, there were those who did not consider this faith to be precious. Let us pick up the story again in Acts chapter 4. See, after the man was healed, the 5,000 were saved, then the leaders of the church came, and this is Caiaphas, the high priest. He was not happy. He says in verse 6, and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name hath he done this? So then Peter gave a response. If we this day be examined of the good deed, verse 9, done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, to all of us who are listening here, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And you realize that the religious leaders, although they had the Old Testament scriptures, but they missed the point. They could not see that Jesus is the living and true God. What a sad thing, isn't it? Those who are given great religious privileges, and yet they were so far away when they are so near. And as we remember this thought, as we consider this thought about the preciousness of the faith, we want to remember this account of Jesus' birth, Remember when Herod inquired with the priest where Jesus should be born? The Bible tells us that they never went to Bethlehem to seek for the coming Savior. But who came? Well, wise men from the East. How did these men have that wisdom to know that Jesus is the God? Well, God gave them that faith, and they could see the preciousness of it. So the Bible tells us that this man came from the East, and they believed that this child that was in Mary's lap is the Son of God, and they worshipped him as king. And that's what the Bible tells us. The most unlikely person, someone you write off, but in his heart, he confessed Jesus. This man is saved. And finally, in verse 2, it's given to us how this faith can be fruitful. Having possessed this faith, having obtained this faith, how can this faith flourish? How can this faith grow? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace is God's favor, unmerited favor coming to us. And peace is the result of God's grace coming to us. We receive the peace of God, the well-being, the experience of reconciliation with God and forgiveness with God. And this second part is Peter's prayer to them that have obtained this like precious faith. That let it abound. And how can it abound? Well, it is through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So he says that this living faith is based upon the knowledge of God. And this word knowledge is not merely head knowledge, but an intimate personal knowledge of the truth. Pharisees had the word of God with them, and yet they did not have the knowledge of God in their hearts. The wise men, well, had both the knowledge of God and had that faith, genuine faith in their hearts. And so God wants us, Peter once tells us that it is his prayer that we grow and we abound in this faith. And how can we do that? Well, it is through the Word of God. By imbibing in the Word of God, that our hearts may be fixed in the Word of God, that our hearts may be established. And he tells us that it is through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What do you mean by Jesus as our Lord? Well, he speaks about the submission to the truth of God. You see, God gives us his wisdom. It cannot be effectual in our life unless we submit ourselves to them. And so this knowledge of God, this grace and peace that comes from God, comes with a deep personal experience with God. Someone who knows the will of God and someone who is walking in the light, walking with God. Do you study the Bible personally at home? How is your personal quiet time? Grace and peace can be multiplied to us when we maintain a vibrant quiet time with God daily. So if there's a takeaway for this morning, it is this. Let that faith that is in you abound. Let grace and peace multiply in your life, obtaining like precious faith. It is centered only in Jesus Christ. It is God's gift. It is precious, the pearl of great price, and it is fruitful through the word. May the Lord help us to cherish and abound in and propagate this faith for his glory. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the faith that Peter burdens in his heart to impart to us. Lord, may the faith of the apostles, the faith that is founded in thy word, the Holy Scripture, be that same faith that is in our hearts, that grace and peace may truly multiply and be seen in our lives. Bless us, Lord. Help us, for we can do nothing without thee. So, Lord, we commit ourselves and we surrender ourselves to thee and ask that thou would fill us and thou would use us for thy glory. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.